just about getting on for 10 o'clock here in England. Must be around 2 o'clock on the west coast of the States. And tonight I've got a very, very interesting and wonderful guest on my show. It's somebody who has had quite a journey in her life. And I met her first during one of Doreen Virtue's trainings, which was an angel therapy practitioner training, and you know, we really connected, and I enjoyed the work she did there. And without knowing it, I then ended up meeting her again over in Laguna in California, Southern California, when I did my mediumship training with Doreen, and we got to know each other a little better then, and we had a great time and explored a lot of mutual interests. And I remember having some fun at the Manifestation Rock, I think it was called down there. So it's a great pleasure to welcome you on the show, Miggy. Her name is Miggy Sayers, and can you hear me okay there, Miggy?
Yes, I can, John. It's great to be
great.
Here.
Well, it's fantastic to have you on, and I think we have to share with our listeners, you know, that we both, interestingly, share a love of soccer, as the Americans call it, football over here. And I know that we've both just come off watching just an incredible game with our team.
Very, very exciting, John.
It was, wasn't it? And it's okay, you know. As I said, well, you know, is it okay to be spiritual and enjoy these sports? And it is, you know. That's one of the things I like about the Course in Miracles teaching, you know, and this is Miracle Hour, where we talk a little bit about the Course, is that the wonderful thing is you don't have to give up anything in the Course in Miracles. When you follow the Course in Miracles, if you're following correctly, there's nothing you have to give up, because the whole ethos of the Course is that none of this is real. And what they say is if you avoid something, specifically, you know, purposely avoid it, for that, you're making it as real as it was if you were following it. So I feel very innocent, Miggy. What do you think?
About the, about tonight?
Yeah.
Yes, it was really good. Yes, very exciting.
It's a wonderful
evening. It made my son-in-law very happy too.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because sport has that ability to bring people together in another dimension, you know. And when you saw the affection and the love that is that flows between that lot, that was a great night. So, you know, having had our fill of football, tell us a little bit, if you wouldn't mind, about you know, where your journey started. That's what my guests normally do, and talk a little bit about that, your background, and how you started off as a child with spiritual beliefs. What was your experience growing up? And
yes, it's an interesting question. I guess I've had as you said, quite a journey in my life. I started off, I was born and brought up in Argentina, of British descendant. As a child, I had quite a few illnesses which kept me back. And then when I was 16, I had TB, which later on in life has caused me a few headaches, but I've overcome those. Lots of wonderful miracles, the way I met my husband. That is the best miracle.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best miracles.
I hope you're listening, David.
Yes, yes, because I'd been working in England, and I went back to Argentina because I wanted to be close to my mum. And then 6 weeks later, I met him on a business trip. And then, to cut a long story short, he proposed after a week. So, who said it can't last, John? That was nearly 40 years ago.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah.
And was that out in Argentina, or was that in...
Yeah, England? That was in Argentina.
Which
but
was
I guess it? What is really special, I suppose, about the story was the trust that I had from my mother. My mother, for me, was a very, very special person. She'd had a hard life, but she she inspired me enormously. And when I met David, and I'd only met him once, and he came back to Argentina, and the day after, John, he arrived, she'd never met him, and she said to me, I'd only met him twice in my life, have you popped the question yet?
Oh, my God.
She'd never met him, John. And the following week, he actually proposed.
Wow.
And then, very sadly, the following week, very unexpectedly, she died.
Oh, my goodness me.
But it was such an incredible, journey, because I then came back to England.
But that's interesting. Yeah. It's almost though she had some kind of knowing, you know, before she went.
She did. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. She'd never met him, and she said, you know, has he popped the question? And
wow.
That's the truth. So, so it was, so that was a miracle, really, the way I met him. I should never have met him, but, and that she sort of gave me her, oh, I don't know, I suppose her trust, her, you know, it was okay. It was okay.
Yeah. But that's incredible. Did she give any, was she ill, or did she give any indication that she knew? Because, you know, a lot of people talk about when they've lost loved ones, that they knew, that the loved ones knew that they were about to leave, and they, you know, often get their, you know, business in order, and or do lots of other things, or make a point of seeing family members they haven't seen. So there is that kind of often a knowingness that the time is coming for them to leave. Was that the case with your mum?
Well, it's strange, because she always used to say to myself, when I die, this is for you, this is for you, those sort of things.
Yeah.
So not in this case so much, but I suppose she must have known. It's as if she had orchestrated, and I really believe in that.
Yeah.
I really, really do, in some way, you know, so...
We all choose when we leave, you mean?
Yeah, so it was very, very hard, you know, for all of us, really, to suddenly... You know, she just got an illness, and she did meet David the week before. Well, he was only there a week, and she...
so she got to meet him before she left?
Sorry, she did, she said that to me, he arrived on the Sunday, she said that to me on the Monday, and then on the Friday she met him, and then she was already sick, but then he proposed on the Monday.
Wow. That's amazing.
So that's a special story, because if people say, oh, you know, it can't last.
Yeah. Wow. And were you brought up by your parents in any religious belief, or were they pretty open, the parents?
Because my parents were British descendants, we were brought up in a really English way, British way, and so yes, I belong to the Church of England.
Right.
Yeah. So,
and did you have any experiences when you were young? I mean, you know, I know you're very gifted, McGee, very intuitive, and you know you're a great reader. Did you have any of those kind of experience when you were young?
I guess I always had a lot of intuition. Yes.
Right.
I always had very, very strong feelings about things, and I didn't really. In fact, it was quite difficult latterly, I would say, in the last 15, 20 years, because those feelings were getting stronger and stronger, and I was like, oh, no, you know, if we get invited somewhere, no, I can't do this. And it was like, oh, and I used to say to David, oh, well, you know, I've got a feeling, I don't think we should do it. And you can call it an intuition, you can call it the angels, I just believe now that it is the angels, but... very, very strong intuition, and and as I say, it was tough because he comes from a different background, and so it was very difficult for him. He didn't like my feelings, so I had to curtail that a bit.
You mean,
but now he's great with it.
yeah. Well, I think this is very common, isn't it? Because for people that haven't share that experience or belief or whatever, it can be quite a threatening thing. And I hear that time and again with especially couples, you know, where one of the partners gets open to this and the other one is not quite so open. And there is a period of concern, etc. Some people go into fear about it.
Oh, I understand. I see it now totally as fear. Because, you know, they're in a different place, and that's okay. We're not all in the same place.
No, that's right.
And I think it's very important to honour where people are. And if
you
try and push them too much, it backfires. That's the way I find.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's true. I think we're all on the same journey, but we take different pathways, and the destination is the same for everybody. That's how I see it now, and that way you don't have to get into comparing or judging other people's journey. So what happened when you started? What did you start off working at?
I was always inspired. Interestingly, I suppose where it all began in a way was after I had TB, and I came to England. I came to England when I was 17 to study, and the TB manifested itself really badly here. And then I returned to Argentina. After 3 months in hospital here, I returned to Argentina. That was in the late 60s. And then when I returned to England, a couple of years later, my mum, asked a very great friend of ours here, who, in fact, Joan has been, she's 88, about 88 now, and she has been my mentor, an amazing woman. And she in later life became a kinesiologist, but she knew of a healer. My mother had read about healers in this country, and she felt that it might be a spiritual healer might help me. So I went to a very special man called Arthur, who was no longer with us, on the south coast of England. And that was in the late 60s. And then I moved to the north of England, and it was quite difficult because I didn't really that time find any healers, or it was quite difficult. But then about 15 years ago, I guess, things started moving, John, and it was sort of beginning, you could talk to people and the right people came into your life. Mm. And I was really very poorly. My lungs then got worse and worse and worse, and I'd get more and more infections, and I'd had quite a few bouts of pneumonia. And in 1983, I had to have part of my right lung removed. And I was left with something called, if you look at the medical side, called bronchiectasis. And it got worse and worse and worse, and I got more and more infections and spent more and more time ill. I hadn't worked for many years, and I looked for something else. And I went to a psychic, in the psychic fair, and she said, you could do something spiritual, and you could or be an aromatherapist or something like that. And I thought, wow, you know, because of my TB, I didn't have any qualifications. I had very little qualifications. And so I thought, no, this isn't for me. This is for an intelligent person. But, you know, what is intelligence? And then she said, well, you could do counselling. And I enrolled, we were living in the northeast of England, at Durham University, I enrolled and did a counselling course. So that started it off. And then my mentor, Joan, said, have you read this book called The Journey by Brandon Bayes? This sort of in 99, and I said, yes, I wrote it down with the ISBN number. And then I was so busy not being well, I didn't read it. And then I had to go into hospital twice more. And by this time, my diagnosis was really bad. It was like, I'm going to be in hospital every 6 months for the rest of my life. And nebulizing antibiotics for the rest of my life. And I thought, hey, there's more to life than this. So that's where my big, big journey started of just finding, healing, finding. And then that was the big breakthrough when I read The Journey. And, you know, and it just opened up a whole new spectrum to my life. It was just, you know, Brandon's written a book called Freedom Is Now, and she talks about following your heart. So I put myself on a path of healing, and, you know, it's really deep, deep healing. And as she says in the book, peeling away the onion skin. And as she was on the radio tonight, she says, you know, one has to roll up your sleeves and dive in. And sometimes it's not a pretty sight, and to face those issues is really, really hard. So yeah, that was the beginning, really.
And did you enroll on the actual journey? Did you do the journey with Brandon Bates?
Yeah, definitely. I was so inspired that I thought, well, this is what's happened in my life, that, you know, I've become lots of different things because I was looking, seeking something else. So I decided, well, this really, for me, is working. I'd like to share it. This is what my mantra in life, John, is to share. It's not about one person knowing more than another. That's what I believe. I believe it's all about sharing our knowledge.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to share it with other people, and that might sound a bit true, but that's where I come from. And not a bit true, but, you know. I did. I enrolled, and I became a journey practitioner. Yeah. So
what year, this was about 2000?
It was, that was about 2002. But I didn't say that before that I changed careers in 2000, and I became a reflexologist.
Ah, okay. So you studied reflexology first.
Yeah, because I went to reflexologist to see about my own healing, and after a month of reflexology, I thought, oh, I'm going to become a reflexologist. So at the age of 50, I passed the first exam. I passed the first exam in my whole life.
That's amazing.
Very exciting. Yeah. So I became reflexologist.
You know, it is, and it's very, very. It's a great lesson for people. You know that age actually has got nothing to do with this. You know that we can. You know, a lot of people. Again, it's conditioning, isn't it? So, you know, people should start retiring at 60 and all the rest of it. But there's so much to offer experience-wise, and you know, I mean, my learning didn't really start in earnest till I was over 50, you know, and I often say I learned more in the last 10 years than I'd learned in the previous 40.
Well, me the same. It's exactly the same, John. So, yes, and I used to have clients who'd say to me, oh, but, you know, I'm too old, or I'm not clever enough. And I thought, well, that's not, you know, what we can all, if we put our mind to it, somebody up there, if they want us to do it, they will help us, and we will get there.
Well, that's the ego tries to keep us small, doesn't it, and tell us we can't and all the rest of it. And part of the journey is learning to just tell the ego to get out of the way.
Yeah, the mind, I mean, that's one of the things I learned from Brandon, The Journey. The mind is there, you know, to scare us in a way, and that's fine. We have to reassure, and keep the mind, say, it's okay, you know, we can do this together, because I think that's very important. And when all those sort of doubts come through, acknowledge them, and then see them going past as a cloud.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good advice, actually, because I found, and I think quite a few people initially make the mistake of thinking they've got to push it away. But of course, you end up with that scenario: whatever you resist persists. So
yeah,
it doesn't go. It's more about allowing and accepting and ignoring it, isn't it?
Well, absolutely, because the mind just gets scared, and I think. But I think it's very important when all those thoughts come through, is just to acknowledge them and then see them pass through. I mean, it doesn't mean we push them down, because that doesn't help, does it?
No. But sometimes, I don't know whether you've ever found journaling or getting it out of you. To me, it's important to get it out of your head and get it out on paper. And very often, that's a powerful way of letting go of it, you know, by getting it out onto paper.
Yes, it's that way as well, yes. But I suppose the way I, nowadays, you know, if great sort of dramas come into my life, I just sort of, there's huge trust now, and I'm living in the moment. I find that's really, really important. Because we can't touch the, we can't do anything about the past, can we? We don't know what the future holds. So, yes, we have to plan things, but I think being in the moment is the way I live my life now.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting at times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but it's amazing, you know, it's such a great model, Miggy, for the younger people as well, because, you know, with the way society's gone, there's so much fear, isn't there? Fear of not enough, a fear of not succeeding, and all these different fears, and with all the stuff that's coming at them through the media, through the education system, I think
yeah.
It's a great, great help to have older role models that can model about trust, you know, and living your dream, whatever age you get to.
Oh, absolutely, and I've been very fortunate. I've had a really good life, but on the other hand, you know, my health was an issue. I see myself as healed now, and that's the way I believe, and I, you know, stuff comes up, but it's important to believe that, you know, I'm in this place now, and I just, this is the way it works for me, so,
yeah.
Just to live this moment.
So, when after you did the journey, you actually, you experienced it as a participant, and then you went on and trained, did you? How long
yes.
was the training for the journey? How long did you train?
Well, it depends, because if I remember right, Brandon was on a radio tonight on a website where we could listen to her, which is fab, and she was talking about, you know, the different modules. So, there's... the practitioner's week, and there's an ego retreat, an abundance retreat. So there's different modalities that you have. I think there are about 7 that you have to take part in, and you have to do them all, you know, follow one after the other, and then all the case studies. So it's a fantastic training, and as you said today, it's all about, you know, there's people from all walks of life that are doing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, and what was exciting, she was saying that a lot of people live, you know, somebody called in or wrote in from Mozambique, and they said, how can they find a practitioner? And they're saying that a lot of practitioners now will do journeys through Skype. So
wow.
Yeah, isn't that fab?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I really respect the work that Brandon Bates has done. Because what was the story? How did she start? It's very fascinating, isn't it? Because she was in the kind of razzmatazz Tony Robbins or anything. I think she worked for Tony Robbins.
Yes, and then she became ill, and then she, you know, she did this amazing healing, and she still is. As she said, it's, in the last few years, it's changed a lot, and then she wrote another book called Freedom Is, which I think is really beautiful, she believes that, you know, there's more to life, and it's about coming home, isn't it, and clearing all the issues.
Yeah.
And she said even now she still continues and does journeys, and she's on tour, you know, once a week, because we don't know how, as Deepak Chopra says, you know, we don't know how many. Well, I believe in, you know, his message that we hold his memories in ourselves. So we don't know how many issues are in ourselves, are they? So having a clear out is and forgiveness, that is the most one of the most important messages,
yeah.
is to forgive.
Yeah, well, of course, and there's a lot of forgiveness involved in the process of the journey, isn't there? In that way, it's got its similarities to some of these other things like Hoffman and that. But it's been amazing the work that she's done, Brandon, in South Africa, in Soweto and around there.
Oh, well, tonight she was talking about it. Before I move on to her, I think I just want to say, sometimes in life it is very difficult to forgive a person or, you know, what a person has done. You know, sometimes their behavior is not acceptable, but this is about being able to forgive the person. So I just wanted to put that in because it's very important. If you, for instance, if you work with a person who's been abused, you can't forget. It's very difficult to forgive, but that person's behavior is not acceptable.
Yeah.
But it's about forgiving their soul so that you can move forward.
Right,
does that make sense? Yes, she was, coming back to South Africa, she was talking about these trains that go into the, you know, outer regions or whatever, and they have a doctor on them, and they have psychiatrists and all sorts, and they have journey therapists now. So they're helping children with emotional difficulties, etc. Yes, it's fantastic, the work in South Africa.
Yeah. Well, yes. Where is that? Is that Soweto?
No, it sounded as if what she was saying tonight was that it was all over South Africa. They were having these trains that go out to, you know, to reach people that can't get to hospitals and things like that. And they perform operations on these trains, she was saying.
That's amazing. And she's doing all that work on a volunteer basis, isn't she?
It's called the outreach. Yeah.
So she really has to... And the story of how she got onto the path is quite amazing. Because, and I hear this a lot, you know, is if you're not on following what you're supposed to be doing, you get really shaken up and you get everything stripped away from you. It can happen. And I think she kind of had her home in was wrecked in a fire, wasn't it? And then she had the. It's not breaking confidentially because it's all in the book, isn't it?
It's in the book.
She had the IRS onto her, and then her daughter wrote that letter saying that she didn't want to see her. And so it was almost like the universe was saying, hey, listen, all these things you thought were important to you, you know, they're just going, you know.
And she says now, every day she just is so full of gratitude to grace, you know, every day she's just so grateful. And I think that is a beautiful way to live. You know, a fellow therapist was talking to me about this last year, and she said, you know, maybe it's really, really important when you go to sleep at night or whatever time of day is to write down. And, well, I don't always have time because I'm always rushing around, but before my last thing at night, as I tuck myself under the duvet, I always say, I'm grateful and appreciate all the great things. And, you know, sometimes just small things, like the smile of my little grandson's face, and just small things like that, to be grateful.
But I think the real trick, though, Miggy, is to get disciplined in being grateful for some of the stuff which isn't quite as pleasant, you know, to know that even though we might not be aware of it and we might not know the reason, that every single thing is happening for our highest good.
Yeah. And sometimes it's pretty...
absolutely.
And very testing, as we know, John.
Yeah, that's it. And the thing that helps me come back to acceptance is the understanding that I can't see the whole picture. I think if I can remember that as often as possible, that I am not able to see the whole picture, but just
to trust... It's just as well sometimes, John.
Sorry?
It's just as well sometimes.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Otherwise, we wouldn't do anything. So when did you start to get interested in angels and angel reading, and how did you come in contact with Doreen?
Well, I guess it was about 5 years ago, and I was in the city of Manchester, in north of England. And I was just about to go to Argentina to my stepmother's 80th birthday, I was going as a surprise, I was buying a book, and out popped, as we say, fell off, not literally, but fell off the shelf, was Doreen Virtue's Earth Angel book.
Oh, the little one.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And I was looking along the sales for another book, and this little book said, "Hello, hello, pick me up, pick me up." And it was absolutely mind-blowing. I stood there, John, reading this book. And
yeah,
that book really, really inspired me, because Doreen talks about all the different earth angels and the different types we are. Which she talks about in her class, and that was like, oh, I bought not one but three books.
Yeah.
And then I got so excited that I thought, wow, you know, it was one night I we were in the Lake District, and I sort of sat up in bed, and I got this message: you've got to go to London to do Brandon's intensive, because once you've done one of her weekends, you can go as a trainer, which is brilliant, and you can attend again and bring in that energy. So I thought,
been
to London, what do you need to go again for? Okay, listen, fine. So I enrolled, and then, as it would happen, synchronicity, on the Monday after the weekend, Doreen was in London, giving a talk at St. James's Church for Alternatives, where they have...
Oh, yes. Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And I suddenly found myself there with another five friends from the journey. And I was just so, so inspired by Doreen. She's such a beautiful person, so down to earth, no ego, and I was like, oh, my goodness. And Stephen stood up and she said, oh, yes, in 2 weeks' time or 3 weeks' time, we're doing the first ATP Angel Therapy Practitioners class in Europe, in Ireland, as you know. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And she said, oh, yes, and I think we've got some places left. So, Stephen stood up and said, yes, there's 30 places left. And I thought, oh, I've got to do it. I've got to do it. And I was really lucky because my auntie had just left me some money. So I thought, oh, yes. So I got on the Met that night and I enrolled. And then, you know, the hotel where she had it, there was no room in the inn. There were no hotel beds left. And I was going to sleep in a caravan on a field. And every day, every day I was ringing up the hotel and they said, you know, I think it'll be okay. And then one night came free, and we needed five, didn't we, or six?
Yeah.
Well, by the end of the week, I had a bed in the hotel.
Really? In the hotel where the course was being held?
Yeah. But yeah, there were no rooms left when I booked. And by a miracle, you know, and trust, a room came free.
That's amazing. That's really funny, because so that was when you first heard of it. I didn't realize that was the first ever angel therapy practitioner course that she had run in Europe. I didn't realize that.
Yes, and then she did the Glastonbury, and then now, as we know, she's only doing them in the States and Kona, I think, in Laguna and Kona. I think most of them are in Kona and Hawaii.
But that was a magical course in Ireland. Wasn't it beautiful there where we were going? I mean, when I think back to some of the stuff, you know, I first heard Doreen speak at the Friends Meeting House in London.
Yeah.
And just like you, as soon as I heard her speak, I was so inspired at that. You know, the absence of ego, the real down-to-earth, earthiness of her, despite the fact that her whole life is dedicated to educating about the angels and indigo children and everything. There's that down-to-earthness about it, because she's a Taurean, isn't she, if I remember
yes,
right?
Yes, she is. Her birthday is, she was on her radio program last week. Her birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, is it really? May the 1st?
Yes. Yes, she's, no, April the 29th.
Oh, April the 30th.
Oh, it's April today. It's
30th
today.
30th of April tomorrow, yeah.
No, no, it's her birthday today, I think, the 29th.
Oh, 29th.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's this week.
But I did exactly the same, you know. I went back that night and I went on the website and I straight away I signed up and it was a great experience and it was such a beautiful area, wasn't it? You know. But when I think back, you know, 8 years previously, there I was selling oil, you know, and God dear, in that madness, you know, and here I was walking through the woods in Glendalough looking for fairies.
But you know, John, when I saw you there at the, I think I told you this, when I saw you at the hotel, because it was on a golf course, I thought, oh, this guy, you must be one of the golf. I had no idea. Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, no,
because no, I thought, well, John, you know, he doesn't look like the sort of angel guy. And my goodness, you were in the class, and it just goes to show, I was just reading about, you know, exactly what I was just reading in a little angel book before we came on air about, you know, that we shouldn't judge people by their looks. Exactly what I was reading about tonight, because I didn't see you as an angel person, and of course you are. And then when you were in the class, it was so inspiring to hear you when you stood up and talked about some of your past.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. No, it was a wonderful experience. I'll never forget it. And I think didn't we watch the movie the night before we went to Glendalough.
Yes.
The movie, the true story about the two little girls. You know.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And you know why it's so special for me? Because you know, all the little fairies. I took some photographs, would you believe, of somebody in the Bluebell. And my photographs came up with all, you know, these orbs?
Oh, the orbs, yeah.
And one of them, two of the photographs, actually looked like little fairy wings.
Right.
I'm not kidding, my photographs, just unbelievable. But what was so special for me was, do you remember when we had to separate to find out, you know, with what sort of earth angels we are?
What realm,
and,
yeah.
Which realm? And I thought, oh, am I incarnate angel? I don't know. So I was sort of fiddling around. And when they were talking about, you know, their qualities, and I thought, oh, no, not tidy. No, don't write lists. Don't wash the dishes before you go to bed. No. So I was walking across the road, room, and I thought, oh, I don't know where I belong. And Doreen walks past, and she says, what are you doing? And I said, well, I don't know. I think I'm a mer angel. And she said, honey, you're a fairy.
But it is strange, you know, because the people actually have the physical attributes. You know, I can remember that girl who was a pixie. You know, she was just like a pixie, that little girl, but with the pigtails, you know.
Oh, yeah, and the fairy dust.
Yeah. I mean, just absolutely fit the bill. But what I think's amazing was there were quite a few guys on that, if I remember rightly. There were probably about a quarter, weren't there?
Some brilliant guys.
It was an amazing thing,
fantastic.
You know, because they used to be predominantly women that were on those courses. But
there were quite a lot of guys. Yeah, really great. But you know, John, what I think is just so brilliant about that, you know, the fairies are in the elemental realm, as you know, and the leprechauns and all that, and people, you know, would think, oh, this is crazy, but what is lovely, and what, you know, my age, to suddenly, it was as if I was given permission to be cheeky and to run around and to have fun, and that's what I started with the journey, and even more with the angels, and, you know, like you said, you know, we were walking along Laguna Beach, when we were in the meditation class. And you know, working along
the
beach. And having fun, it was so good.
Yeah, that was an amazing course as well, you know, the mediumship course. And that rock there, it was actually called Manifestation Rock, wasn't it?
It is, yeah.
Laguna Beach. So do you, how do people contact you, Miggy? You know, you're doing angel readings and you're doing with your reflexology, or do you mix it all up?
No. At the moment, I did work, but as you know, John, now my life has changed, and I'm very lucky. Since David retired, we've bought ourselves a little house in Argentina. So we spent half the year there, and I found that it was really, really difficult to continue with my work because people, particularly things like the reflexology and the journey, people want continuity. So I'm sort of in semi-retirement, but I've been asked today, I'm going to be doing some readings in a shop, a beautiful shop very near here.
Oh, lovely.
So I'm starting on Monday, and because the angel therapist is going to be away for a month, so I'm going to be doing some readings. But at the moment, I was on the website, the angel therapy practitioner's website, but because I'm moving around, and as you know, I moved. I'm not actually working as such.
Right. And did you do telephone readings?
Yes, I did.
You did do telephone
readings? Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yeah. And have you been back to see, to do any more of Brandon's further trainings? You were telling me she was talking about all the different levels now.
No, I haven't, and that's why I decided I'm sort of in retirement, because I haven't kept up to date. And what is really interesting, that after, I think, 3 years, you have to refit the practitioner's course to keep up to date. But again, I decided not to do that. But I was there on the 4th of April. She had a satsang before the journey intensive for practitioners, so I was able to go and soak in that energy, and I still have journeys myself.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sort of in semi-retirement, being a granny.
And how long do you spend of the year out in Argentina?
Usually 4 or 5 months, but I have a room there which I set up because we go there from about October, November to March, and I was doing readings, and I was doing reflexology, yes, out there. So I've been doing some readings here, but I just following whatever the angels have for me, and every day, you know, something else comes up.
Yeah, well, one of the things that you have got a wonderful gift, because the number of manifesting, I don't know anybody that's so powerful and fast at manifesting. I can remember when we were trying to get tickets for things, and you would just, that's it, you take care of that, and then within 48 hours, you know, we had the tickets. I mean, it's a tremendous, tremendous power you've got there, and I'm grateful for the links you've given me. You know, I've found that you're a great connector, Miggy, you know, and I don't know if you heard, but did you listen to Mark Hughes on Radio X?
Yes, I did.
It's beautiful, yeah. Mark's an amazing musician, and I'm sure our listeners have heard of the Angel Song. That was the one that really shot to the top of the spiritual charts, anyway, because it was used on World Angel Day, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, he won the competition. When Dana Cooper and Dorian Virtue had a World Angel Day, I think it was 2002, and he won the competition to have a song played that day. And that song, to me, when I don't feel well, John, I just put that music on, and that angel song, it just inspires me. And
yeah.
He's a very special man, and
his
music is just extremely wonderful.
Yeah, it is. I love telling people about him, you know, and it's great if any of our listeners there are interested and who know the Angel Song, the composer and the artist that performed it, Mark Hughes, is a friend of ours, and you can visit his website at markhughes.com, I think it is, markhughesmusic.com, And he performed one this evening, which was amazing. Looking down, is it called Looking Down? About being trapped in a relationship, you know, which is less than fulfilling, and the feeling of being in prison. It was beautiful, beautiful. They played it tonight on Radio Essex. I don't know if you heard that.
Yes, I listened to it tonight.
Yeah. Now, he's a very special guy. He's, you know, he's one of these people who has managed to, I don't know how he does it, because I find it a real challenge to keep a foot in both worlds, you know, because he's got his business world, and then he's got his music world, which is where he, you know, really blossoms with what he really, you know, is passionate about. And he does an amazing job, you know. And he's a big soccer supporter, too. He's a big Chelsea
fan. Yes, the other team.
yeah, the other team we don't talk about.
So, actually...
He said
tonight, didn't he, that he actually always kept, he was a classic, was a musician, and he kept very quiet about his music. And and it was only that, I think he's just been inspired, other people have asked him to. What is amazing about him, as he mentioned, he said he's very lucky in the position that he actually can, he has his business, and his music is his love, and he can actually, he does a lot of charity work. And last year he put on a concert for, with a friend of mine helped organize it. And actually she met him, Janine, my mentor's daughter Janine, met him when you did the viewing of the Indigo film.
In Horsham. When was that, 2005 or 4?
Yeah, I think 5, I think. And Janine was sitting next to Mark's wife, and they started talking, and he sort of said, well, he would do some charity events for her.
Yes.
And he did one last year for Children's Hospice. And it was just, he was just so humble, and so, he's just lovely.
Yeah, he's great at doing that. He does a lot of, he mentioned tonight, didn't he, that he does a lot of charity work where people are raising funds, and he comes along and gives of his time and his talents free of charge. He's a wonderful guy, and I really enjoyed it. And you know, that Indigo Day, it was such a beautiful start with him starting with that meditation, and the guitar he plays is beautiful. And I think he's now, he has done a lot of work in the States as well with Doreen.
Well, I don't know if it's Doreen, but he said he's been invited to do concerts in the States and all over the world. It's interesting how the angels come into our lives in all these different ways, John. And I must mention just quickly, I think how on a sort of mundane, you know, everyday way the angels can help us. And I guess you remember from our classes with Doreen, you know, little things like the parking angels. To ask, you know, in our busy lives when we can't find a place to park, to remember to ask the parking angels to help us find a place in the car parks. And it's amazing how it works.
Yeah. And I think the thing that's important to remember, isn't it, is that we have to ask. And I think for me, anyway, that's the challenge, because having grown up, with not anybody being there for me most of the time as a child, you know, is we can tend to get a message that, you know, there is no one there for us. So, you know, even when we get into this work and the spiritual work, I've found it's a constant thing for me to remember to ask for help, you know, that they will not intervene unless we ask. They will not interfere with free will.
Exactly, and sometimes it's hard. We lose the way, don't we? And we forget, and it's like, hello, we're here.
Yeah.
And the other one which makes David laugh, you know, because I happy because now he's just brilliant, and if my friends come, spiritual friends, he'll say to me, "Well, what are we today? Are we angels or are we fairies?" Unless you know him, and this is a guy from a scientific background, but he is just so brilliant, and he says, "Okay, you know, I don't believe in a lot of this stuff, but if you want to have your friends and do the work, I'm with you, and it's fine." And it wasn't always like that, as I said, because he used to get upset. But the biggest, the best friend is Archangel Shamuel.
Oh, is it? And what is Archangel Shamuel's speciality?
To help find things.
To help find things.
Yes. So if you lose your toothbrush or something, and the other thing, he also helps us to overcome low esteem and bring unconditional love into our lives.
And that's Archangel Shamuel, huh?
Yes, but Shamuel. So David, if he loses something, he comes to me and he says, "Do you think you can get your friend Shami to help us find?" So it's quite funny. Yes, and yes, Shamuel quite often does help us find things.
Right. And what? Who's the archangel that you use for healing most of the time?
Oh, Raphael.
Raphael.
Yes. Raphael, also known as God's physician.
Yeah.
Yes, Raphael, he will help you heal at all levels. Yes.
And can you describe just quickly, Miggy, as well, the cord-cutting process? Because that's quite a powerful exercise, isn't it, psychic exercise?
Archangel Michael, yes, if there's any negativity in your life, you invite Archangel Michael, who's usually a blue color, and you ask him to help you cut the cords of the negativity. And the way I do it is I ask for love to be put on both ends.
Yeah. So in other words, he's only cutting the cords of negativity. So you can do this with loved ones so that you maintain the love connection. It's just the negative connection that gets broken.
And also the other thing, you know, if you're finding it difficult to sell your house, sometimes we're very attached to our homes and we don't realize it.
Yeah.
And if our home doesn't sell, this is brilliant. It's worked with two very good friends of mine. Is to thank the house and to actually ask Archangel Michael to physically help you cut the cords. So you can actually physically go around the house cutting the cords.
Ah, okay, yeah. And, you know, people laugh at this stuff, but it's real, you know. Anything is. I can remember, you talk about helping to sell a house. I can remember very soon after I'd come back from the training, and you remember Doreen mentioned to us, you know, that the spiritual realms want us to be abundant. They want us to be wealthy. It's, you know, there's no sin or problem with that. And I had been trying to sell an office, which I'd had when I was in the...
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and it was quite incredible. This office hadn't sold for about 2 years, and the agent was in the process of just sort of asking me to consider dropping the price. But by this time, I'd done my training, and I tuned in, and I asked, and I was given a price which was about 15,000 more than the price that it hadn't sold at. So when I told the agent, you know, the agent was dumbfounded. He said, "Well, you can't put the price up." You know, I said, "Well, this is what I've been recommended by my advisors, I call them." And of course, you know, he put it up, and within 2 weeks, we'd had four offers for the asking price. So I went back and asked again, and they gave me another figure, which eventually the agent was laughing. He said, "No, well, you'll never get that." And within about 3 week period, we had something come in. The whole deal was done within about 4 weeks. It was the most incredible thing. And at the end of it, you know, he came back to me and said, "You know, we've been very impressed by these advisors of yours. Who are they?" So that was interesting. So I had to tell this real estate agent, you know. And you know, I remember Doreen's words saying, you know, you you've got to get out the closet. You've got to come out openly and talk about this into places where you wouldn't normally do that, you know, and get out of the fear. And eventually he said to me, he said, are they an international company or national company? And I said, that's my agent. So he kind of, you know, it was quite a shock to him, but that was a big leap of faith there for me, you know.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. No, that was a lot of stuff happened when I first came off, you know, because we're still fresh, aren't we? So, Miggy, you know, it's incredible, but our time is almost up. We're coming up to the 5 minutes to the hour, and I just wanted to thank you for coming on, giving me your time this evening, especially it's quite late here, and wish you every success. And is the health okay now? Is everything, you know, you're on, you're fully recovered now?
Yes, yes, I have my ups and downs, John, but, you know, I just, a big trust, and I just, as I say, I see myself healed, and they are blips here and there, but, you know, it's minor compared to what I used to have before, and I kept out of hospital for many, well, originally for 5 years after my prognosis was that I'd be in every 6 months, so, I've had to go in now and again for an MOT, but I'm doing well. So, the main thing is I feel really happy, so I'm just trusting that I will go on like this.
Wonderful. Great. Okay, Miggy, well, thank you so much for coming on, and lots of love to you and David, and I wish you a fantastic time and return back to Argentina, and we look forward to catching up again soon. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, John, for inviting me. Lots of love. Bye.
Lots of love. Bye-bye now. Bye.
Bye. Bye.